Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living grid locked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got bunnies and bricks swimming in the sea.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. Joined today by Cal Poly linebacker, alumnus, I guess I should say, Johnny Millard. Johnny, how's it going, man?
Going good, man. Just enjoying this California weather and, you know, glad to be back over here and staying ready.
Cool. So I want you to take me through the progression. Of course, you finished up at Cal Poly last year. Can you kind of take me through the progression of where you've been and what you've been doing since leaving San Luis Obispo? I assume last spring, but you can kind of fill in the blank here.
Yeah, right after the draft, I signed as a free agent to the Rams. Went through pretty much the entire preseason with them. Had a pretty solid preseason for the most part. Was pretty productive. A lot of the tackles won. I think our most productive player 2 out of 3 games, and you know, was there, and then unfortunately got released. And when that happened, there was kind of whispers amongst some other NFL players that I knew, some other rookies, about a new league called the FXFL, which is supposed to be like a developmental league for, you know, kind of like a minor developmental league for the NFL. That's what they're trying to, that was the goal at least. And I heard about that. I got a call from Brian Woods, who's the commissioner, and he actually was also the head of the Medal of Honor Bowl, an All-Star game I played in before the draft. And he told me about it, and, you know, it sounded like a great opportunity to get good film and, to kind of stay relevant and really stay in shape for, you know, when I do get that call. And that's what it did. So pretty much right after after the preseason, I got that call, and just joined up with the Brooklyn team, and you know, it was great. All the guys, I mean, I think the stat was like 95% of everyone in the league has played in the NFL at some point, you know, up to 1, 2, or 3 years. There's a couple other guys like Ken Hightower from the Cardinals and Redskins that, you know, was a little older, but he was with the Florida team. So yeah, I mean, it was a good word going on around it, and it seemed like a good opportunity for me, so I went ahead with it.
Yeah, it sounds really fun. I want to actually take it back to growing up for you, and then we'll get back. Are you there still?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get back to the FXFL, but I want to take it back to the XFL, because I know I know that your father, who's an All-Pro NFL defensive lineman, who has a ton of respect in the game, was a coach in the XFL probably right around the time you were what, like 8 or 10 or something like that?
That was about the time. I think I was just about 9 years old.
yeah. So what do you remember about those days? Were you around that a lot? What do you remember about the XFL, man? Because the Bay Area team played where? I feel like they played at the
San Francisco. I forget where in San Francisco they played. It's
yeah,
a little bit bad for me, but I remember it was fun. It was really exciting. It was similar with, you know, a lot of guys who had NFL experience, but I remember the rules in that league were a little more lenient as far as physical wise, and it was pretty brutal, is what I remember seeing and hearing. And but it was exciting. And I think anytime you have a bunch of guys, you know what I mean, with the same goal and just like really hungry to get back to where they want to be and to accomplish their dream, it makes for like a really exciting atmosphere and just exciting football, you know. And I think that's what kind of attracted people to it. And it's a good level of play. Like I said, it's just exciting football because everyone's just so hungry out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I, I've, I've never met your dad, actually. And one question I have is, you know, they let the players in that league, and I'm gonna contrast that league in a second. So don't worry to the one that you played in. So I'm not trying to get them mixed up. But they let the players put whatever they want on their jerseys. And of course, Rod Smart, I think, was the guy's name who is He Hate Me. If the coaches also got to kind of rename themselves, what would your father have put on the back of his jersey, you think, or on the back on the back of his coaching polo shirt?
Gosh, I don't know. Maybe like QB Hunter or something like that. That guy's all about getting sacked. So it's something along those lines.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, hopefully he agrees with that.
What kind of influence was your dad growing up playing football? Obviously, a resource there for you as a defensive player. And what kind of an influence was he in choosing to go to Cal Poly in the first place?
I mean, obviously, as you can imagine, he's a huge influence on me, and, you know, but, like, nothing in no negative way. It's never really been pressure or anything like that. It's always just been just helping, just an aid towards me, because, you know, I fell in love with the game early, and because he loves the game, it created a really cool bond for us, and, you know, it's always cool to be able to talk to him about that, and just somebody who's had that much success, and just, you know, somebody I idolize, and who's also my father, is just, you know, it's definitely a blessing to have him. And, obviously huge influence, and he's always been there to help me. And, especially with defensive play, and, you know, he's a very, very smart, he's a very smart football player and obviously a very good coach. So just having that on the, like, intellectual side of football too, and being able to kind of know schemes and stuff like that, I think that kind of helped me progress a little faster, as far as maybe slowing down the game a little bit. So that was always really good. And, like I said, definitely a blessing to have.
Got it. How close, Johnny, of course, we're with Johnny Millard, from former Cal Poly player and looking for his shot, I think is a good way to put it right now. Closeness did you follow the Cal Poly football team this year? A lot of those guys, of course, are guys that you played with, guys like Nick DeZubnar, Cameron Onko, in the linebacking core. And to what extent did you follow that team this year?
Oh, every week. You know, I talk to Coach Brown every week. I talk to, Nick, just those two guys, Nick and Cameron, are some of my best friends. And, you know, I mean, you're always tight with your linebacking core. You know, I go back with, like, Marty Muhammad and Kenny Jackson and, you know, guys like those, we're all still tight. We used to all have group messages, and we all talk to each other. So, you know, I mean, that kind of goes on forever. You know, those guys are family to me. So, of course, I'm sure. Calling every week. And, you know, those guys are asking me questions about stuff, and I'm asking them questions. And, you know, and Cameron and Nick, obviously, both aspire to play in the NFL. So I've been, you know, as much as I could through the process, I try to help them if they ever have any questions, as far as I know so far. So, been following very closely.
Yeah. So, you know, the season obviously is ending this upcoming week against San Diego. The team kind of put themselves in position to maybe make the playoffs, and beating both Montana schools at home after winning three straight before that. Really kind of amazing that they did that after the start that they had. What have you seen from the team this year? And to me, it just kind of looked like they were pretty gassed at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, first off, I think you just have to, you got to put your hats off just for the season to Coach Walsh, because, I mean, everyone knows what happened at the beginning of the year, and there's a little bit of negativity going on, and they kind of had to rebuild pretty quickly with losing some team members of that team, you know, and that's not an easy task to do, and you recognize that as a player, you recognize that as, I'm sure, a fan, a writer, anybody, you know, that was a tough task.
Oh, yeah.
Coach Walsh. You know, they got him out. He got him out of a rut. So, I mean, I just have so much respect for that guy, and just all the coaches there. Like, you know, that what they were able to do so far. And I know their biggest goal is to finish out strong, and I really believe they will. And you know, obviously they had two tough losses these last week, but you know, it's not like they weren't against two, you know, great teams. I mean, Idaho State is a great team this year. I mean, you know, they're a great program right now, and. UC Davis, I don't care if UC Davis is 0-12 or 12-0, they're gonna play their best football when they play Cal Poly, and it's still the same for us. That's just how rivalry games work.
Yeah,
you know, so they had a good plan, is what I did. I didn't get to watch that game, but I heard they had a good plan, and and it was some tough football. But I mean, you know, Cal Poly is a good football team, and I couldn't have more respect for the coaches of everything they were able to do this year with stuff that happened in the beginning and how positive they stayed and how they were able to get their players to play.
Yeah, I think, you know, individual guys in that game made, you know, plays individually, you know, in terms of one play at a time kind of thing. But when it came down to it, I think depth was, you know, something that maybe not even in the Davis game, but just kind of over time took its toll. How important is depth in college football? I mean, there's 12 games, but you got to have different threats and different guys game to game, right? I mean, if you're riding one horse, and I am kind of talking about Chris Brown here, you know, Chris left it on the field, you know, on the both Montana games, the Idaho game. I think he ran 37 or 39 times or something like that. You know, when you're a quarterback and you do that, you know, that can't be a great recipe overall. Even if it's what you have to do in the moment, I mean, eventually that's going to catch up with you, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of look at that, like Chris Brown reminds me a lot of Andre Bottas as a competitive standpoint. Andre was the type of guy, and you know, I hope people all remember Andre. He was a competitor and that guy wanted the ball in his hands. And I know Chris, and I'm pretty sure Chris said the same thing. Like, you know, I mean, he's just a gamer, and that's kind of the quarterbacks you have at Cal Poly. So I don't think he's going to complain about that, but I get what you're saying. But at the same time, like we were saying earlier, you know, it was Willie Tucker's not their receiver this year. There, yep. You know, some things happen, and you know, I think Jordan Hines actually surprised a lot of people. I knew he's a good player. Yeah. I knew he at some point he was going to come out of his shell. And you know, there's some emerging dudes, and I think they're a little young at that position.
Yep.
You know what I mean, as far as experience wise, and
yep.
What that really says to me is, you know, they were developing throughout the year. I think you saw that. He was developing who his weapons were. So what that tells me is, you know, next year, with the full off season, you know what I mean? You know, I don't think there's going to be any more quarterback carousels going on. I think Chris Brown has established himself as, you know, rightfully so, and he's got respect from his team, and he's got respect from the conference and the coaches. So with him and him able to get time with the receivers, and I know those receivers are going to work their butt off, and they got Willie Tucker back. Like, that's going to be a dangerous group.
Totally.
And Corey Garcia. You know what I mean? It's just, I think a lot of guys are developing this year, and to do what they did so quickly and to pick up things, like, I mean, you know what I mean? I'm so proud of those guys. It's unbelievable. I know they're going to carry this. I know Coach Walsh is going to carry this. Really use this for motivation next year of what they're really capable of.
Yeah. We're here with Johnny Millard. And Johnny, here's the last question I'm going to ask you in relationship to, like, this year's football team. How much facepalming was there, like, at the beginning of the year from you? I know that was kind of a decent way to describe it when all that stuff went down at the beginning of the year from, you know, some of the guys maybe who'd been there before.
I'm sorry. You kind of cut out, like, the most important part
that's
of that
okay,
question.
That's okay. Yeah. We all know what face palming is. How much of that was happening, you know, in terms of at the beginning of the season, you know, when all that stuff went down?
Face palming.
Yeah. You don't know, like, when you put your face in your palm and go kind of like shake your head. Like.
Oh yeah. My bad. I was hearing you wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there was some. You know what I mean? But I think. It's nothing that they weren't taking responsibility. They knew that, you know what I mean? I think they knew that they were still trying to find out who their pieces were at the beginning of the year and still trying to bring it together. I mean, I think I remember Coach Walsh hearing one saying, like, yeah, you know, this wasn't their best football game, but there's moments in that football game that they showed a lot of potential. And I think he was referring to New Mexico State and stuff like that. And obviously, the situation that happened. And the whole thing with that is, like, that's not Cal Poly football. I know that surprised a lot of the community, but that surprised a lot of the players, too, because that's just not who we were. You know what I mean? Not just Cal Poly, the, you know, institution, but I think the football program does such a good job producing, like, such a great young men and individuals who become leaders in their community. So, you know what I mean? And it was unfortunate that it kind of took light away from that sport of thing.
Yeah.
And because, you know, Coach Walsh has been nothing but – a leader of young men and help. And I just know personally, like, he, whether you're a year out of college or 5 years out of college, that's the guy who's always going to be there for you. And his main goal is he wants you to be successful. So just kind of referring to that, I know, you know what I mean? It was definitely a surprise to, you know, some alumni and guys like that. But we all know that wasn't really Cal Poly football. And you know, it wasn't a normal thing. And, you know, and even the guys who were involved in the incident, I think it was a little out of character for some of them, too, because I know those guys. And I just, you know, I don't think I would have expected that. And they're good guys. You know, and they are really good guys. I think they got a little, they made some bad decisions, but I think hopefully they're going to learn from those decisions and they're going to get back on track. You know, and I pray for that, and I really hope that.
All right, so let's get into. Are you still there?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Let's get into the FXFL a little bit more closely. It was a 4-game season, I think. That's what I've read, and I know that it's just a total upstart league. I actually kind of think that they kind of undersold it in terms of the marketing part of it. I know it kind of got thrown together. I don't want to say last minute, but it got thrown together like pretty darn quickly.
Very quickly.
Yeah, that's kind of how I imagine it, or how I interpreted it. When it got put together, do they just basically say like there's this many guys and they assign them to a team? Is that kind of the way that went? Like this guy plays this position, so he's going to go to that team.
I think they kind of had a plan. I do think they had a plan. I'm not sure. That's probably a question I've asked, you know, some of the upper management or upper, you know, office guys. But it seems to me, looking at the teams, that they had a plan based on like the personnel that we kind of go against every week, and talking to some other guys that I knew that were at least some teams that were going to play in this league. I think they got all the positions and they knew how many guys are going to be on each team. And they try to kind of go after the best ones that were released and, made some good football.
Yeah. So, so you got into the season and, I think you played a lot of middle linebacker for the Brooklyn Bolts. What was it like to play?
Yeah.
And you played your games in Coney Island, right? At the baseball stadium there.
Yeah. And Hugh Park.
So how is playing football in a baseball stadium, any different? Was it kind of, like uncanny, weird at all to be playing?
I think the first day we had to practice, and you kind of knew it was a baseball stadium, it was a little different, but it was a really cool stadium. It was right by the water.
Yeah, I've been there.
Coney Island is awesome. Yeah, Coney Island is an awesome place. So, really great atmosphere, and the Brooklyn fans are awesome. They get into it. I mean, for a team that just got there this year, and how many people we were getting, like how crazy and wild they're getting at the games. It was fun, and they're a fun group.
That's awesome. That's great. And,
go ahead.
No, you're good.
I was just going to say, even after our last game, I had fans come up to me like, hey, like, we had so much fun watching you guys this year. I really hope, you guys come back. I hope this sticks around. Like, the Brooklyn fans were just loving it. And I heard kind of some of the same stuff from other players in the league. Like, some of these fans were really getting into it. And like I said, it was good football. It's all guys who played in the NFL. So.
Yeah. So Brooklyn had a team. Boston had a team. Omaha had a team, and was it Quad Cities?
It was Florida.
Florida
had a team. But I think what happened with the Florida thing, because like you said, things happened quickly as far as when the league was developing.
Yeah.
So what Florida became was basically like a traveling team. You know what I mean? Like
they didn't have any home guys. Games. Got it.
They didn't have any home games. No, it was just, I think it was just, it was so much to do to get all that set up within such a short period of time, but they still had a team. They had a good team too. I mean, Tim Hightower was their running back in their last game.
So you guys played in Brooklyn, and I think you went 3-1 or 4-0.
We went 4-0.
Yeah. Okay. So you were telling me some stuff about your last game, and I wasn't all the way believing you, Johnny. I said you better not be telling me jokes, because I'm about to tweet this out. But along with playing,
I know you saw the highlight.
Along with being the starting middle linebacker, you also got to play a little running back. How was that?
First of all, it was so much fun. I feel like I was in high school again, going both ways. But it was just so weird how it happened. Like, because I think anytime you try to show that you're, diverse and that, you can play multiple positions. And what happened is, one of our fullbacks went to another team, our fullback / tight end. So we were short for a week, and, our tight end, our fullback was just getting just so many reps. And I felt bad. I was like, hey, coach, like, I like hitting people. Like, you can put me on. You don't give me the ball or anything. Just let me play fullback and block the running back. But I really don't mind. And they're kind of psyched about that. They're like, all right, well, let's see what you got. And did it a few times. They kind of like what I was doing. And, I'm in charge of going to where the fullback is at linebacker. So I kind of know what the fullback has to do just by playing linebacker so much. So it really wasn't that hard. Just go hit the linebacker, you know.
Sure.
I'm not trying to downplay the position at all, but just, you know, in the certain stuff that I was in on.
Sure.
So I was really just a backup at that, and then they used me in goal line a few times. They liked it, and our last game, we just unfortunately had, like, three really bad injuries at the tight end and fullback position. They're like, hey, can you, like, we got to be able to run 21 personnel.
Uh-huh.
You should play fullback. We're going to run power. We're going to run lead. I was like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You know, and I was excited for it, and then our running backs went down, and they were like, hey, we were winning the game. We have to run the clock out. And they're like, hey, we're going to hand you off the ball. They're like, run hard forward. You hit the hole and just hold on to the ball. that's kind of what happened. And that it was just a weird set of events. But I think the weirdest part was then when our running back went down, and I was in the huddle, and I heard him say shotgun or 11 personnel. And I was like, oh, I'm coming off the field. And the quarterback looked at me. And he said, no, you're in. I was like, in it, what? He was like, tailback. And I was like, what? And this was on the field, and I had no time to really question it. I was like, all right, let's go. He's like, I'm like, what am I doing? He's like, stand next to me and block whatever back blitz is. And I was like, all right. I was like, let's do it. So that's how it happened. It was a blast, though.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, you know, to be able to show a little bit of flexibility, a little bit of willingness, that's definitely something I think you know, maybe teams value in terms of that. What's next for you? You said you're coming back to California to kind of stay in shape, to stay ready. You know, what's like a timeline on that? I'd imagine this isn't really a time of year when a lot of guys get kind of you know, picked up or put on rosters. So what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously our epic salty then, and so I'm coming back home. And I'm training here, doing some stuff with my dad, and, you know, just kind of staying in shape because what people do get signed right now is practice squads because,
okay.
You know, especially this last stretch, people start to get banged up, you know, and especially in my position because it's such a physical position, is, you know, people go down every week. And,
okay.
There's been some teams contacting my agent, and they've all said the same thing, like, yeah, we like it, we like what you did in preseason, just stay ready and, you know, just always be ready for that call. So I've gotten some good feedback, and hopefully have some workouts coming up soon, and just really just being ready for those.
Yeah, that'd be great. Again, here with Johnny Millard, again, former Cal Poly linebacker. So are you going to be in SLO at all? Or are you going to stay up north? What's your plan?
If I can visit SLO, I would like to. I mean, just with the holidays coming up,
yeah.
Thanksgiving, I'll probably be up here, and you know, I've been away from the family for a little bit, so. Obviously kind of nice to see my little brothers,
sure,
and, you know, rough them up a little bit while I can before they get too big.
Here's my last random question from somebody who grew up in Northern California. I think you grew up there the whole time. What was your kind of first impression of San Luis Obispo when you came, and kind of what went through your head maybe when you came on a visit to check out the school or recruiting visit or whatever it was? I always ask people that. I'm from around here, so I'm from Cayucas. I always ask people from, you know, the Bay Area or LA, kind of what was your initial like response to the area? Some people, you know, have really super positive ones. Some people kind of wonder, you know, about certain things. So like, what was yours?
Well, kind of going back to what you asked earlier, and I think I totally dodged you on this question, not on purpose, though, was when you're asking my dad's influence on when I came here, because I went on a recruiting trip the week before to Washington State, my dad's alma mater.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of people kind of assumed that I would go there, and I came down to Cal Poly, and, like, within the day, me and my dad just looked at each other, like, dude, you got to come here. and I was like, I know. And, I, you know, it's just, and talking to other people who've been on recruiting trips, when you kind of pick somewhere and like you have that feeling, you just know it's right. Like, I think that goes a long way. And I just came down here and, you know, I really, really respected Coach Walsh and all the coaches at Poly, and the atmosphere was really awesome. I mean, it was a beautiful place and, you know, great football program and a great education. I mean, those are three things all in one at one school. I was like, and you know what I mean? And I'm like, why wouldn't I come here? You know,
it was
an easy decision.
There you go. Awesome. Well, great to hear it. We're glad you did. And next time you're in town, look us up. Maybe we'll have you in the palatial garage studio here at the fansmanship.com, headquarters, aka my house. So yeah, that sounds good. We'll hopefully catch up with you later. Good luck the rest of this year, and we'll be watching out for you.
I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, John.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. From there.